They're here to hear you speak through the preaching, through the Word of God. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you please fill me as I preach. And I pray that you would please just speak to every heart that's here. Help us to hear what you'd have us to hear, dear God. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a very famous passage, and the part that I wanted to focus on is the early part of the chapter where Paul is teaching Timothy and he's explaining to him, and these are some of Paul's actually last words, and he talks about a little bit later in the chapter. He said, I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. He's talking about his death. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And so Paul, in some of his parting words to a younger preacher, Timothy, is trying to pass on the torch to him, trying to explain to him what he's going to face and what he's going to need to do after Paul's gone. And he tells him in verse number 2, preach the word. Be instant. Instant means ready. You think of somebody being ready at a moment's notice. He says, preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. This is negative preaching is what he's talking about here. Reproof, telling somebody that they're wrong. Rebuke, correcting someone who's wrong. Exhort, that's to encourage and to motivate somebody. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, there's your positive, with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching the Bible. For the time will come, not it might come, he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's talking about in Timothy's lifetime, he's saying. Not even just talking about today. But he's telling Timothy that in your lifetime, the time will come in your life when they will not endure sound doctrine. You say, are we there today? No, it happens in every lifetime. He's not talking to a specific period of time. He's speaking to Timothy, who lived almost 2,000 years ago, and saying the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now I want to preach on this, and I have all kinds of points and all kinds of Bible in this sermon, but the title of my sermon is this, Watered Down Preaching. That's the title of the sermon. Watered Down Preaching. What is it? What does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible teach would be the definition of a watered down sermon? Well, turn the first place I want to show you. Look at Acts chapter 4. You're in 2 Timothy, back up to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Look at Acts 4, verse 31, and we'll see the first point. Acts 4, 31. What is it to be a watered down preacher? What is it to water down your preaching? Well, look at Acts 4, 31, and we'll get into it. The Bible reads, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And watch what the result was of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. They spake the Word of God with boldness. Number one, watered down preaching is preaching that lacks boldness. And let me just define that for you. It's holding back when you preach. And you know, I'm preaching to a lot of men who do preach. When I'm preaching right now. And let me tell you something. Preaching that holds back something is watered down preaching. Preaching that lacks the boldness to preach it all, to say it all, regardless of the consequences, regardless of who's there, regardless of what people think. Turn, if you would, to Acts 20:20. You're in chapter 4, verse 31. But I'm here to tell you that preaching that lacks boldness, preaching that's holding back, and let me explain something to you this morning. If a preacher is holding back, he is not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One of the qualifications for being a pastor or a deacon is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Every man who is filled with the Holy Spirit speaks the Word of God with boldness. That's the outward manifestation of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Speaking the Word of God with boldness. And so if you see a preacher stand up and preach, and he wants to say something or something's in the Bible, and you're sitting there, boy, I wonder if he's going to say it. And he holds back. He trims the message. That man is not filled with the Holy Spirit. He has no business behind the pulpit.
Amen.
It's the truth. Look at Acts 20:20. Paul says, and how I kept, chapter 20, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He's saying, I didn't hold back anything. He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. What's that mean? He's saying, I didn't just take you aside and say, well, here's what we really believe. But I'm not going to say that publicly from the pulpit because I'd hate for people to be offended. I'd hate for a visitor to be offended. I'd hate for the new believer to be offended. He said, no, I've taught it publicly. Amen. I've stood behind the pulpit, preached it from the housetops, and everybody knew where I stood. Everybody knew what I believed. And he said, I held back nothing that was profitable. Hey, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. He said, I didn't hold back anything that's written in the Bible. I didn't hold back anything that's profitable. What do you mean by that? If it's in the Bible, it's profitable. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way from cover to cover, we are to preach the whole counsel of God and not to hold back anything that's profitable, which would be anything in the Bible. Oh, you can come on in and sit in the front. There's space in the front. Would you guys scoot over? And so, let me explain it to you this way. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can you imagine a preacher who's preaching while he's drunk? I mean, can you imagine coming to church? You're expecting to hear preaching from the Bible, right? You're trying to learn something. You're trying to get closer to God. You want God to speak to you. And you look up and you say, something's wrong with this pastor. And then you begin to realize that the pastor is drunk. Can you imagine how outraged you'd be? How angry you'd be? How upset you'd be? And yet the same verse that's telling you not to be drunk is the same verse that's telling you to be filled with the Spirit. The same qualifications for the pastor that say that the pastor is not given to wine is the same sentence where he says that he's to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so if he's not supposed to be drunk, I mean, look, I'm just as mad when I see some pastor who's holding back, who won't preach hard, who doesn't have the boldness to just get up and say what the Bible says, whether it's popular, whether it's unpopular, in season, out of season. Hey, it's just as outrageous as a man who's preaching drunk. Yeah. It's just as disgusting. But I remember when I was in South, you say that's crazy. Well, when I was in South Chicago, we rented a building from the Inglewood Mennonite Church in South Chicago. And I remember the deacon at the Inglewood Mennonite Church, he would come and unlock the door. You know, we were just holding like a little service there in the afternoon as kind of an outreach to the community. And we'd go there in the afternoon, and the deacon would come and unlock the door for us, you know, and let us into the building so that we could use the building. And he was drunk every time. And he was the deacon. And he'd come walking up, you know, and his eyes were all yellow and everything, and he'd come staggering up. And we'd be like, hey, Deacon so-and-so, how you doing? He'd say, I'm blessed, you know. I'm blessed by the best, you know. And he was drunk every time. You say, that's ridiculous. That guy has no business being a deacon. And you know what? No man who's not a soul winner has any business being a deacon either. Because right. The Bible says he's supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, do you remember the first deacons? Have you ever read Acts chapter 6? The first deacons were men like Philip, men like Stephen. Preachers, soul winners, men filled with the Holy Ghost. These men were not the deacons of today. Businessmen and people who are not preachers. They're not soul winners. They think that they're going to run the church and everything like that. That's not a scriptural deacon. They're no more scriptural than the drunk guy in Chicago who used to unlock the door for us. I got no more respect for a deacon who won't go soul winning as a drunk deacon. Because either one of them is not qualified to do the job. And the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. Show me the righteous preacher. I'll show you a preacher that's as bold as a lion. Show me the preacher who holds back, who's not bold, who's a pansy in the pulpit. I'll show you a man who's fleeing from nobody. He's scared of his own shadow. He's scared of what people are going to think. It's funny, this verse always makes me think. I told the story to Brother Martinez yesterday while I'm telling a Chicago story. One time I was in South Chicago, and we were picking up kids on the bus, like a bus route. And sometimes we'd be in a hurry, and we were just really intense about what we were doing. And so sometimes we'd run to the doors. You know, we'd get off the bus, run to the door, you know, knock on the door, and get the kids and come back. And we'd be running because we were in a hurry trying to get it done. Well, we're in a very gang-ridden area, a really, really bad area. And there were all these guys, they were just obviously gangbangers. They're all kind of talking, standing around with each other. Well, I get out the bus and I'm walking along and I see the house I need to go to. I just break into a run. Just because that's what I'm doing. I'm just in a hurry. I break into a run. One of these guys just yells out a cuss word and just starts running away from me. He thought I was coming to get him, you know? And I'm just coming to pick up these kids for church. But, you know, you can imagine I'm walking down the street, just kind of walking along, and they're kind of looking at me like, who is this guy? What's he going to do? And all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, the guy just goes, oh, blank, you know, and he starts running. And I'm chasing him down the street, but I wasn't really chasing him. And then he realized that I was going to this other house, and all of his friends started making fun of him, like, ah, you idiot! He thought I was the police or something. You know, I guess he thought I was undercover or detective or something. But look, when people, why? Because he had a guilty conscience. I mean, if he hadn't been doing anything wrong, he wouldn't be running from nobody. You understand what I'm saying? And so the preacher that has a clear conscience before God and man should just be able to stand up and just let it rip and just say what needs to be said. Let the chips fall where they may. Look, we live in a day of watered-down preaching. I mean, look, when you read the Bible, read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, read Ezekiel, read the minor prophets. It does not resemble the preaching of today. It just doesn't. I mean, these guys stood up and cried out about sin. I mean, they cried out about innocent bloodshed and murder. And today, you'll hardly find a preacher that will stand in the pulpit and even preach against homosexuality. I mean, something that God poured out fire and brimstone and destroyed five entire cities. I mean, we're talking about something that God punished in the Bible, Leviticus 20:13, with the death penalty. Amen. We're talking about something that God says is filthy, wicked, vile. He calls them brute beasts. Look it up in your concordance. He calls them going after strange flesh. Strange means queer. He calls them queer. He said they're weird, they're filthy, they're perverted. And yet you might think I'm crazy right now, but I'm going to tell you something. Just because it's watered down the street or down the road or in some other Baptist church someday, it's never going to be watered down here. Amen. You say, well, I don't like this kind of preaching. You're not going to have any trouble finding a church. Amen. I mean, it's a good night. Just find the one that's by your house. You won't hear this kind of preaching. And so don't worry about it. If you don't like this kind of preaching, don't even worry about it. The sermon's going to be over in less than an hour. You can go wherever you want and find the other kind of preaching. I'll help you find it. We'll get all you have to do is just get out the phone book, close your eyes, and put your finger down in the church section. You'll find some watered down church, chances are. And so preaching that doesn't hold back anything. Popular, in season. What does it mean to be in season? Wow, that dress is a little bit last season. You know, what does that mean? You say, oh, well, that it's out of style. Isn't that what it means? Like if you say the right season, or it's in season or out of season, or you go to a particular grocery store and maybe certain fruits and vegetables are in season at that time of year. Another time of year, it's not very prevalent, right? So when something's in season, you know, the apples are going to be on sale when they're in season. They're going to be easy to find. They're going to be in every grocery. And I guess you can buy an apple anytime, but you know, whatever. What's some exotic fruit? Ladies, what's some exotic fruit that's only buy it at certain times of the year? What's that? Kiwi? Pomegranates, kiwis, you know, these kind of certain things. Certain times they're in season, you're going to be able to get them. Other times not. Look, he's saying when this kind of preaching is prevalent, preach it. When it becomes rare, preach it. When people like it, preach it. When it's fashionable, preach it. When it's not fashionable, preach. Hey, preach it when they love you and preach it when they hate your guts. Yes, that's what it means. Just be instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. So he says, so number one, what is watered down preaching? I believe it's preaching that lacks boldness, which I define as holding something back that's profitable, not preaching certain parts of the Bible that offend, and I would also define it as not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because think about it. If I'm up here preaching, and the Bible says something, and it comes to my mind, because I've been studying and reading and meditating upon the Bible, and it comes to my mind that it needs to be preached, and then I stop and think, I better not say that because that will offend. Tell me something. That's the flesh. That's right. Think about it. I mean, is that the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Is that walking in the Spirit? That's the flesh. Because that's my flesh saying, I want to be popular. My flesh saying, I want people to like this. It can't be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one that wrote the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
So how could it be Him censoring the Bible? It's got to be the flesh, because it can't be Jesus that wants to censor His own Word. You see what I'm saying? And so that's the flesh. And so preaching with a lack of boldness is preaching in the flesh. And it's not going to come out to anything. But number two, preaching that is vague is watered down preaching. Now look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. So number one, watered down preaching is preaching that lacks boldness. But number two, preaching that lacks boldness is preaching that's vague. Preaching that's generic and not specific. Preaching that we're not really sure what you mean. It's equivocal. It could mean a few different things. We're not really sure exactly what you're talking about. That is watered down preaching, my friend. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:8. The Bible reads, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." Did you hear that? If you don't speak words that are easy to understand, where people can know what you're saying. And look, the goal of preaching is not to sound educated or to sound smart or to preach a good sermon. Oh, I preached a good sermon. What good is that? The point is to be understood. The point is to teach. The point is to reprove. The point is to rebuke. The point is to exhort and build up. If you can't understand what's being preached, he says, the pastor's talking into the air. Blah, 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 blah. It's like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's like noise. You can't really tell what it means. You can't tell what to do. I don't know how to respond to it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to fight. Because it says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Unclear preaching is what I'm talking about. Preaching that makes you wonder where the preacher stands, or what do we need to do? What's God telling us? What's the Bible saying here? It's watered down. Look at Isaiah 58:1. Actually, I'm sorry. Turn to Romans 7:13. I don't want to take you too far around the Bible right now. I'll just read you Isaiah 58:1, and you can turn to Romans 7:13. But the Bible reads in Isaiah 58:1, "Cry aloud, spare not." Spare not, again, means don't leave anything out. Don't hold back anything. "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression." Are you listening? "Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now you say, well, just preach the Bible. Now wait a minute. If all I did was just preach the Bible, I could just get up and just quote Bible to you right now and call that a sermon, right? I mean, I could get up and just quote scriptures to you. But the purpose of preaching is to take what God says in His Word and apply it to our lives, right? To apply it to today's world. Okay, to bring it into today's circumstances, to bring it into our life. Because otherwise, I would just be reading God's Word. I could just get up, read the Bible for an hour and 15 minutes, and close in prayer, and we'd be done with church. But God wanted people to preach, and He said in Nehemiah chapter 8, you know, that they read the Scripture, and then they gave the sense and caused the people to understand it. God is saying to a preacher, Isaiah, you need to show people their sins. Now, we're not talking about personally. I'm not going to say, all right, let's start on this side. All right, there's something I've been wanting to get off my chest. I need to show you some of your sins right now, you know, in front of everybody. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about standing behind the pulpit and preaching things in such a way where they can see their life reflected in that preaching and say, okay, here's some sin that I need to get out of my life. Or here's something that I need to do, or I need to change. And so look down, if you would, at Romans 7:13. The Bible says this: "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment," watch that statement, "that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Now what's this saying? It's saying, look, sin obviously we know what's right and wrong. We have our conscience inside of us that pretty much tells us the things that are right and the things that are wrong. But what happens is when somebody gets up and commands and preaches and you hear it from God's Word that what you're doing is wrong, that makes sin exceeding sinful. When it's preached, I mean, look, there were certain things when I was growing up that I did without even thinking about it because I'd never heard it preached that it was wrong. And I mean, I grew up, I was watching TV, watching movies, listening to all the world's rock and roll and stuff. And to be honest with you, the thought never even entered my mind that most of it was wrong. You know, I mean, some of it, obviously, when things that were obvious would come on the screen, I knew that it was wicked if there was nudity or blaspheming God or what have you. But a lot of the time, you know, I just thought, it was fine, no big deal. Didn't really understand. Nobody taught me. But once I heard the commandment, you know, once I went to church and heard preaching from God's Word or even just read it in the Bible, that's where it became to me exceeding sinful. You see, today people think of sin as not that bad. Because the preaching is watered down.
Yeah. Amen.
And unspecific. Now, if the preaching would get specific and name the sin, then people would not think of sin as just being sinful. They'd think of it as being exceeding sinful. I mean, they wouldn't say, well, it's not that bad, no big deal. They'd say, wow, it is. It's wicked. It's an abomination. It's horrible. But today, people think sin's not that bad. Now, let me give you an example. I can get up and preach and say, and you know what? How hard, if I get up and just yell and scream and say, oh, he's really preaching hard. Well, but if I'm not being clear with what I'm saying, is that really hard preaching? No. I mean, but if I get up and just say, sin is wrong. Don't sin. You know, is anybody really going to disagree with that statement? Oh man, Brother Anderson, you better watch out. You're making enemies. I said sin's wrong. You heard me. Don't look at me like that. You know, it's like, you'd think I was an idiot if I was up here preaching like that. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, nobody's mad. Nobody's offended by it. Everybody, okay, does everybody agree that sin is wrong? I said sin's wrong. It's like, oh, okay, wow. But yet when you begin to bring it down on the level, what exact sin are we talking about? And I'm not talking about making things up that aren't in the Bible. I'm talking about taking things that are in the Bible and exposing to you what's wrong about it. Look, you know, why don't I just give you an example? This isn't in my notes, but let me just give you an example. Turn to Romans chapter 1, okay? And let's just give you an example, okay? Because I want you to see what I'm talking about here. Look at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse number 26 of Romans chapter 1. Okay. And we'll see the difference between a generic sermon and a specific sermon. See, I'm going to take the Word of God to you and just apply it to your life. This is what preaching is supposed to be. I'm going to show you your sins this morning. I'm going to... Look, nobody likes to have somebody show them their sins. Right? But showing you your sins is going to help you in the long run. This is going to help you grow. Okay? This is going to help you, you know, get past some of these things. Because God, listen... God wants you to bring forth much fruit. This church, listen to me, this church is a church that preaches hard on sin. No holds barred. I mean, instant in season eyes. This church is a hard preaching church. I mean, I don't think anybody will disagree and say that this church is watered down. Now, there's probably a lot of other negative things they'd have to say about our church, but nobody's going to say it's watered down. But yet, yesterday, it was not even a soul-winning day. We had 15 people out on a non-soul-winning day, 21 people saved.
Amen.
That's love. That's compassion.
That's right. Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And the Bible says in Matthew 24, listen to me carefully, the love of many shall wax cold. Why? He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound. Would you guys scoot over right here and make two seats on the aisle? Come on in. He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. God wants you to bring forth much fruit in your life. God wants you to see people saved. God wants you to win your friends and your loved ones, your relatives, your co-workers, the Lord. He wants you out there talking in the highways and hedges, winning people to Christ. But let me tell you something. You can't do it when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're not filled with the Holy Spirit when you're living a life of sin.
Right, yeah, man.
And so you've got to get this stuff out of your life. You got to go, and look, it's going to be painful sometimes. It's going to hurt to face the truth. But a preacher who's not watered down is going to stand up and specifically bring it right down to today's level of what we're talking about. Now look, Romans chapter 1, let's read this together. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. And look, let God's Spirit speak to you through the Bible. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. It says in Romans 1, 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Vile means disgusting. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." This morning when I read my Bible, I read out of my grandma's Bible. And of course, who knows what it said? My grandma's Bible, and she's got another one going. And I told her, I said, "The only thing I want you to leave me in the will is your next Bible." Because she underlines, she writes notes in the column and everything. And my grandma's great. We get along very well. She lives down in Tucson, and I stop in and see her every chance I get. And she wrote next to that, "Receiving in themselves that recompense of their error," which means she wrote the word age. You know, I agree with her. You know, look, get mad at grandma. Don't get mad at me. But hey, it's talking about men with men doing disgusting, vile things. That's what the Bible calls it. I mean, I'm not making this up. And he says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," talking about the queers, "God gave them over to a reprobate," or rejected, he's saying, he rejected them, "a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness." This is the gay guy you work with that's such a sweetheart. "Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers," he's such a nice guy, "backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." Now watch verse 32. Now let's bring it to where we live. "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same," watch this, "but have pleasure in them that do them." Did you hear that phrase? "But have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore," look at chapter 1, 2, verse 1, "therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." He's saying, look, the Sodomites are wicked, they're men with men, they're perverted, they're vile. God gave them up, God gave them over, it says three times. He turned them over to a reprobate mind. And yet, he said, not only do we know that they which do such things are worthy of death, we read that in Leviticus 20:13. He says, but we then take pleasure in those that do them. Yeah. What am I talking about? Let's bring it down the level. Listening to their music. Yep. Did you hear that? Listening to their music. Do you take pleasure in Elton John? He's an open sodomite. Think about that now. You take pleasure in showing your kids The Lion King? They're being sung to sleep by Elton John. I mean, think about it. Do you take pleasure in movies with, what's this guy's name that was in the Batman movie?
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, sodomite, died. You watch the new Batman movie? Get right with God. Because God says you're taking pleasure in a sodomite. You're enjoying watching the queer. Look, I didn't make this up. That's what the Bible says. It says they take pleasure and then they do it. And he says, hey, you want to judge the queers. Sure. But he says, then you turn around and take pleasure in them. And then you do the same kind of things that they do. You do other things like them. You like their music. You like their movies. You dress like them. You talk like them. You act like them. You got them plastered on your wall. Hey, you need to get right with God. That's what the Bible says. And so, don't judge the queer unless you're going to quit dressing like a queer. Don't judge the queer unless you're going to turn off the queer's music and the queer's movies. I don't like that word queer. God said they go after strange flesh. Read the book of Jude. Strange, weird, queer, vile. What do you want to call them? Name the word. Nothing offends me. And so the bottom line is, it's true. But anyway, the bottom line is, sometimes we read the Bible and we see what we want to see on the Bible's pages. That's why sometimes we need to come to church and have a preacher who's very specific. Not a generic sermon, not a generalized sermon, but who gets specific and says, I'm talking about the new Batman movie.
Amen.
I'm talking about Keanu Reeves. I'm talking about Elton John. I'm talking about the lead singer for REM, Michael Stipe, is an open sodomite. I'm talking about Leonardo DiCaprio, who's a sodomite. I'm talking about all these, and I, you know what? Maybe I just need to go spend a week of worldliness to learn all the names, because I'm running out of names, just kidding. But I can't think of anybody else's name. But I'm going to tell you something. Watered-down preaching just gets up and says, well, you know, homosexuality is still a sin. Oh, really? Wow, thanks for telling me that. I didn't already know that. You know what I mean? But you see, you got to bring it on a level. It's not just homosexuality that's a sin. It's taking pleasure in sodomites that's a sin. That's what the Bible said. Maybe, did you learn something this morning?
Amen.
Man, thanks for coming to church and learning something this morning. But let's go to point number three. And this is back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. So let's do a quick review. Number one, watered down preaching is preaching that lacks boldness. It's holding back. It's preaching in the flesh. Okay? Doesn't say everything that the Bible says for sake of offending people. Number two, what's watered down preaching? Generic preaching that's not specific. Oh man, I'm sorry, forgive me. We got to go back to point number two for a little while. Let's park it on point number two just for a minute. We went, some of you already know about this, but several of us guys went over to this preaching class in town at an unknown disclosed location, you know. We don't want to make anybody mad or anything, but you know, we went to this independent fundamental Baptist church across town. I got this flyer in the mail. And you guys saw the flyer. It showed a guy like on the front, like, you know, like posing like this, like he was preaching really hard. And it said, remember how preaching used to be? On fire, sin hating. And it said, well, come on down on these and that Saturday nights. And it said, just come on down and let her rip. That's what it said, let her rip. Okay? It had a little apostrophe and everything. And then it said, like, you know, if you got a preacher boy in your church who's got a really hot sermon, come on down. We're going to have on fire preaching and all this, right? So we're like, cool. You know? So we went down there. You know, we thought they really wanted us down there. You know, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so we went down there and man, we just preached the fire out of them. Several of us. Well, this last time we went down, we brought a bunch of people. We had four guys get up and preach. And man, we were getting up and preaching hard, and we just took the advertisement seriously. So we're standing up there and just ripping and preaching. And Brother Stuckey, God bless him. For some reason, they hated him the most. I don't know why, you know. And I was a little bit offended because I thought I was preaching pretty hard. But for some reason, so we get up and we preach, and this is what happened. When Brother Stuckey got done preaching, the guy, and by the way, when I was preaching, people were saying amen. Everybody was saying amen. When Brother Wilson preached, everybody was saying amen. When Brother David preached, everybody was saying amen. Brother Stuckey was preaching, everybody was saying amen. And when Brother Stuckey got done preaching, the guy who's running the service gets up and says, amen, that was good. Who heard him say that? Yeah. Oh, that was great, man. And he even said he agreed with him. He agreed with everything that was said. Did he say that or not? I got all these witnesses or whatever. So then, a couple days later, he says, oh, you know, he wanted to take me out to lunch or something. I'm like, oh, man, you know, here it comes, right? So the guy takes me out to lunch, and he's telling me, like, oh, man, you know, so you guys think you're going to come back next time, you know? I said, oh, yeah, we'll be back. He said, well, do you think everybody's coming back? I said, yeah. I said, we'll probably bring more people next time to preach. And he said, well, you got to help me out with something. He said, you know, some of those sermons, he said, especially that last one, he said, it was Brother Stuckey's sermon. Again, I was offended. I was hurt. But he said, we can't have that kind of preaching. He said, this is not the venue. He said, you know, there's a place for that kind of preaching, but this is not the place for that kind of preaching. He said, I want, and I promise you, this is the exact word he used. He said, at a preaching night like this, you're supposed to come and just preach a generic type sermon. That's exactly what he said, word for word. He said, it needs to be a generic sermon. He said, you know, you can't just come in and preach on your hobby horse and your pet doctrine and your pet issue. And I'm thinking to myself, how is it a hobby horse? He's only preached on it one time. Because a hobby horse means like you're, you know, it's like a rock horse, like you're going back and forth. Back, like it'd be kind of like if you came to Faithful Word And like every service, I was preaching on the same thing, same thing, same thing. So he said, get off that kick, you know? Get off that. Yeah, it's hobby horse. He only preached it one time. And I said, well, can you tell me something out of the Bible that was wrong with what he said? Or what any of us said? And he did bring up something about my sermon. I said, was there anything wrong? Was there anything wrong? And he said, no, it wasn't anything wrong, but that's just not the place for it. Where is the place for it? We're in some on-fire preaching night, and you can't have specific preaching? I'm sure on Sunday morning they really tear it up over there. If they can't even, if a couple of preacher boys can't even handle it. You think the Sunday morning crowd can handle it? Good night. He said it needs to be generic. You can't get up and preach on these specific issues. And you know, some of everything he preached was just straight out of the Bible.
Right.
It was straight down the line. Right. And yet, they couldn't endure the sound doctrine. You know? And so, you know, we got, you know, we were told that we can come back, but we just can't preach like that anymore. I just said, well, we're not coming back. Said, you know, that's might as well tell. We're not going to come. And I said, do you really think that I'm going to tell my church member, go there and water it down? I said, what am I teaching him? You know what I mean? Oh, let's go back, but you got to tone it down. Water it down. And he said he's going to give me a list of subjects that we can't preach on. I was like, forget it, man. You know, we're just not gonna come back. We're just not gonna preach there. We'll just have our own little preaching night where it's really hard preaching, where it's really on fire preaching. And you know, I'd name the church and name the name. Most people know who I'm talking about anyway. But the point is, I'm not going to, because they're not heretics. They believe like us. They just add water. Faith, you know what I mean? It's like you take a teaspoon of hard preach. If you wanna resemble this church, just take a teaspoon of hard preaching and just add like a 5-gallon jug of Alhambra water. Water it down, and then so I'm not gonna preach against them or rip them, because you know they believe the gospel, and they believe like us on certain things. I'm not just trying to tear them down, but I'm gonna tell you something. They're watered down.
That's right.
Amen.
And you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to water us down.
Yeah, man.
Good luck. Good luck trying to water this guy down. He's crazy. Anyway, don't try to water me down. I think they probably just thought I was a lost cause. You know, but they don't realize there's no hope for him either. You know, I can't change him. And so, all right, now I can get off that point. Let's get on point three. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 4? He said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Now let's just look at those three words. Preach the word. I mean, he's saying, this is what he's saying. Preach the Bible. Right?
Yep.
Preach the Bible. So number three, watered down preaching is preaching that is lean on biblical content. Did you hear that? So number one, it's preaching that's lacking boldness. Number two, it's preaching that's vague, generic. Thank you for supplying that word, buddy, across town. Generic type preaching. But number three, it's preaching that's lean on Bible. Because Jesus says, preach the word. Preach the Bible. And many times a preacher will get up, and I hope nobody from our church is ever guilty of getting up, reading one verse, and then just blah, 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 blah. Hey, preach the word.
Amen.
I mean, it should be verse after verse. It should be scripture backing up your point. It should be Bible verses. It should be God's word has power.
Amen.
God's word is quick and powerful. Steven Anderson's not powerful. God's word is powerful. And so I want to use his words to preach the Bible. And sermons that are lean on biblical content, they're watered down. You know, you're taking one verse and trying to make it spread out for an hour-long sermon. That you're going to have to water that verse down. You have to stretch that thing out. That's watered down preaching. A lot of filler. You know, tell a verse, and then it's just stories and illustrations about chasing people in the ghetto. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, just stories and illustrations and filler and filler. Hey, it needs to be Bible that's being preached. But number four, I got to hurry. Number four, and man, you want some Bible? Let's get some Bible. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, just a few pages back. Number four, I'm talking about preaching that will not name the names of heretics. It's watered down. It's watered down preaching. If it won't name the names, you say, well, you didn't name the guy across. Well, he's not a heretic. He's just watered down. But I'm talking about the heretics, the people who are preaching false doctrine, preaching another gospel, preaching false things. I'm telling you something. They need to be named. I'll prove it to you from the Bible. You want Bible preaching? Look at 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Whoops! Woo, woo! He named the names! Oh, I don't believe that a preacher should ever name anybody, call out these other preachers and name their names. Well, Paul did it. Hymenaeus and Alexander. Yep, I said it. There I said it. Whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy, he only names a few names. But in 2 Timothy, he's like, good night. People didn't get it last time. I need to name more names. 2 Timothy 1:15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He names the names. Look at 2 Timothy chapter chapter 2, just the next chapter. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. He said, let me tell you who they are. Let me call them out. Let me name the names. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, he says in verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Look at verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Somebody told me, well, that was a private letter. Then how are you reading it? Yeah. How am I preaching it? How did it survive all these? It was a private letter. Oh, close your Bible quick. Don't read somebody else's. You know how bad it is to read somebody else's mail? Can you close that, please? That's just talking to Timothy. Wow, so God put it in the Bible just for one person? Probably wasn't even printed in a book until after he was dead. Oh, you know, just like people say, oh, the book of Hebrews, it's just talking to the Jews. Okay, well, I guess the book of Philippians is just talking to the Philippians. Yeah. I mean, think about this logic. I guess the whole book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is just talking to Theophilus, because that's who it's addressed to. And the book of Acts. I mean, that doesn't make... Look, it's for us.
Right.
It says in Romans chapter 4 that it was not written for his sake alone, Abraham, that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, unto whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. See, the Bible wasn't just written for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Jews, Timothy, Peter, Paul. It was written for us.
Amen.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come. It was written for our admonition, the Bible says. And look at 3 John. Go to the very end of your Bible, right before Revelation. You find 3 John, Jude, Revelation. Look at 3 John. You say, oh, it was just Peter. Peter had this bad habit of naming names. Well, look at John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at 3 John, verse number 9. I wrote unto the church, and there was this guy, and I don't want to name his name, but it says 3 John verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember, this is a really watered down preacher John was, right? Listen to him. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, referring to this man Diotrephes, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil had not seen God. Do you see that? He's calling the name. He's naming him out and says, I'm going to come down there and clean house. I'm going to take care of this guy, Diotrephes, who's a false teacher. They called the names. You know, and you call the names and people get upset. Hey, let me just call some names right now. Let's do a roll call. Billy Graham. It's a heretic. It's a false teacher.
Right.
Teaches work salvation. And the last time I saw him, before I threw my television out the window, thank God, many years ago, last time I saw him was a few days after 9/11. He was having some ecumenical worship service with George W. Bush. He was wearing a dress like a Catholic priest. He was dressed like a girl. And he stood up and said, we know that all the victims of the Twin Towers are in heaven. Wow, you don't know how to go to heaven? Just be in the right building at the right time when that terrorist attack happens. You get a pass into... Hey, the guy who's blowing it up thinks he's getting a pass into heaven. The suicide bomber. And then the so-called Christian evangelical Billy Graham thinks you get a free pass for being on the receiving end. Everybody thinks they get a free pass into heaven outside the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mom.
He said, look. He said... Everybody went to heaven. He's a liar. He's a false prophet. He gets up and says, he said this. I got him on videotape. Me and the Pope agree on just about everything. Talking about Pope John Paul II. The Pope's an antichrist. And he said, I agree with him on just about everything. He said, I'm just as comfortable in a Mormon church, as a Christian church, as a Catholic church. He gets up and preaches this gospel of turn over your life to Christ. Repent of your sins and give your life over to Christ and make a commitment to Christ. Hey, I didn't make a commitment to Christ when I got saved. I didn't give Him anything. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not the gift of Stephen Anderson is living a good life for God. I didn't give anything to God. He gave to me. I received. As many as received Him, not as many as gave to Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Amen.
And anybody who preaches a gospel other than whosoever believeth is preaching another gospel. Because the gospel is whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's faith, not works. Faith, not commitment. Faith, not turn over a new leaf. Faith, and faith alone. Oh, but faith alone, faith without works is dead. Well, look, my friend. How long have you been saved, Brother Dave? Okay. Was there any time during your life when you did not have the works to go with your faith? When you were not living a good life? You were not doing the works? Okay, well let me ask you this. Was your faith alive or dead at that time?
Dead.
Okay, well wait a minute. So did you lose your salvation during that time, Brother Dave?
Nope.
I mean, think about it. Some people do the works and then they don't do the works. And then they do the works and then they don't do the works. I mean, they get out of church, they get backslidden, they get back to church. So during that time, his faith was dead. It didn't profit anyone. But let me ask you something. Was he still on his way to heaven? You better know he was, because you can't lose your salvation.
Right.
Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no man can pluck them out of my hand.
Amen.
My Father is great and all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, and people try to twist the Word of God on you. Well, but faith without works is dead. You got to have the works. When? Before you're saved? During you're saved? After you're saved? The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Right.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so you can sit there and take a scripture that says, my brethren, and it's speaking to Christians about adding works to their faith to show their faith by their works. That's not talking about being saved. Oh, but the devils believe. The Bible's, okay, let's get the context. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe in trouble. What do the devils believe? That there's one God. Is there anywhere in the Bible that says if you believe there's one God, you're going to heaven? Okay, I guess Muslims are going to heaven. They believe there's one God. That's what it says in the Quran. There is one God and Muhammad is his prophet. But look, the Muslims are not saved because they have the wrong God. The devils believe that there's one God, but do the devils believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? No, and it's a moot point because they couldn't even get saved. They're not even human.
Amen.
You know what I mean? But they don't even, they just believe that there's one God. Wow. But the Bible does say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what it says. And so let's move on to the next point quickly. Point number five, look at Acts 20, verse 28. So quick review while you're turning there. Number one, preaching that lacks boldness, holding back, preaching in the flesh, not filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, preaching that's vague, general, not specific, generic. Number three, preaching that is lean on biblical content, not using the Bible, not preaching the Bible. You say, well, you don't preach the Bible. Okay, so far in this sermon, I have read a chapter that had, what, 18 verses, then I read five of them again, then, so that's 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 44 verses that are in my notes, not to mention all the other ones that I quoted that were not in my notes. So we're probably up to about 60 verses right now in this sermon. Whoa. But many people, I mean, you're waiting for that verse to come. Amen. For 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It's wrong. It's the wrong kind of preaching. Don't ever do that kind of preaching. Amen. Don't preach watered down. Don't water it down. But look at Acts 20:28. I love this phrase, and I learned this. I was listening to Roger Jimenez preach, and he preached it. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Notice that phrase. "And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God with its purses with his own blood." When he's talking about feeding the church, he's talking about giving them the spiritual meat. You know, like right now, I'm feeding the people with Bible, you know, with the truth. With, you know, have you ever heard people say, "I went to that church but I wasn't being fed"? You know, feeding the flock of God. But he says, before you're going to take heed to others, before you're going to take heed to feed the flock, he said, you have to take heed to yourself first. Did you notice that? He said, first take heed to yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So he said, you've got to take heed to yourself. Number five, preaching that's watered down, preaching's watered down when it's coming from a watered down preacher. When the person is watered down, the preaching should be watered. You see, if you're worldly, you're not going to get up and preach hard on worldliness. If you do, you're a hypocrite. But the tendency is, the things that you're weak on, you're not going to feel comfortable getting up and just really letting it rip about those things. Because you know that that's something that you're struggling with. You're guilty with that. And think about this. The preacher who does not go soul winning, is he going to preach hard about soul winning? I mean, think about it. If I didn't go soul winning, do you think I'd get up and say, "Man, we need to go out in the highways and hedges. We're going to knock every door. We need to preach the gospel to every creature. We're not handing out a tract. We're not going to hand out a flyer. We're not just inviting people to church. We're going to open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hey, we're going to preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to knock every door daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." But it's easy to say that when you just did it yesterday and you're going to do it today and you're going to do it tomorrow. That's easy to preach. But the guy who's not going soul winning, he's not going to preach hard on soul winning. The guy who's committing sin is not going to preach hard on sin. I heard a preacher once say this. Any preacher who won't preach on sin is living in it. Right. Any preacher who won't preach on sin is living in sin. That's why he won't preach on sin. I got to hurry. Number six. Look at, look at Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And I'll quickly close the sermon. But Isaiah chapter 30, I'm kind of stealing my own thunder because we're preaching on Isaiah 30 in the Bible study this week. But this is a great scripture. I had to bring this into it. But look at Isaiah 30 verse 9. And the sixth and final point is this. Watered down preaching is preaching that gives that's there to give the listener what they want to hear. Preaching that is dictated by the listener and not by the Holy Spirit. That's going to be a watered down message. When the listener is saying, this is the kind of preaching we want. Look at Isaiah 30 verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Verse 10. Which say to the seers, see not. It's talking about the seer as a prophet, a preacher. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. I mean, they literally want somebody to get up and lie to them. Just get up and give us something smooth. You know, and I mean, look, I can be smooth. God wants your best life now. Or whatever, I don't know. I can't even do it. There, that's more like it. I'm back to myself again. All right, I can't even do it. You know, I can't even pretend to do it. Man, I better just stick with preaching hard. I can't do this smooth. But they say, oh, this is what we want to hear. Smooth it out a little bit. Your preaching is a little rough around the edges. Maybe we can just smooth out some of these corners a little bit. Make it a little more palatable. You know, Faithful Word Baptist Church goes down smooth. You know what I mean? Like, be a great commercial, right? Preaching that goes down cool, clear, smooth. Hello, this is Pastor Steven Anderson. Smooth jazz. Okay, but, it's not smooth. And he says, look, smooth things are not right things. Do you see that? There's two kinds of things. Right things. Do you see it? Look at the verse. Right things, smooth things. They're not the same. Smooth is not right. Right is not smooth. Deceit is smooth. What's right is not always. Doesn't always go down smooth. Sometimes like, you know. That's why sometimes when I'm preaching, sometimes people look like they're choking. You know, but you don't have to call 911 or anything. It's just the preaching. You know, but the point is, he says in 2 Timothy 4, you don't have to turn there. This is where we started, but he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, they're setting the agenda on the preaching. They're picking a guy that will scratch him behind the ears and choosing someone who will tell them what they want to hear. And then they're sitting down and telling him, okay, this is what you'll preach and this is what you'll not preach. I used to preach in a couple nursing homes when I started this church. And they wanted to change my preaching and I had to be eventually thrown out. You know, I preached in both of them for about 6 months. They both threw me out about the same time. Okay? Brother Dave has not been thrown out and it's been 10 months. I'm not saying he's not preaching right or anything. You know? I'm not saying anything like that. But what I'm saying is, if somebody's going to tell you what to preach, it's time to just move on. If somebody tells me what to preach, I just say, well, maybe I just better not preach then. Because that's just how I am and I'm not going to change. Because if I started getting the habit of watering it down, well, I got to water it down over at the nursing home. Where's that end, though? Can I turn it off? Should I turn off and on the Holy Spirit's preaching like a switch? I mean, that's just that should be who we are. And so we shouldn't be able to turn it off when we go, you know, east of here. Oh, man, I'm giving hints, you know, to this other church, you know, that had the preaching class. Or if we go to the nursing home, we got to tone it down a little bit. Nope, never tone it down. I'm not saying to turn it up, I mean, and preach things that aren't in the Bible. But I'm saying if it's in the Bible, our goal should not be to offend. We're not trying to make people mad. We're not trying to offend. We're trying to build people up. But if it's in the Bible, don't hold back.
That's right, man.
Be instant. In season, out of season. Preach it like it needs to be preached. Let the chips fall where they may. And don't turn it on and off for certain places. We got to tone it down here. Look, if there's somewhere where I have to tone it down, I'm just not going to preach there. Because you know what? I can just preach here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. If this is the only place I preach, praise God for a place where I can preach and say whatever God wants me to say without worrying about it. Amen. Malachi 2:7, you don't turn there, but it says, for the priest's lips, and in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones who were preaching the Word of God to the children of Israel. Of course, I'm a priest, and so are you. If you're a believer, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, talk about that. But he says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. See, the preacher should just be a messenger of God. He shouldn't be bringing his own message, you know, his own agenda, his own opinion, his own idea. He should just be taking what God has given to him and just being the messenger. Just taking God's word and bringing it to the people and expounding it to them. Bringing it down on their level. That's what preaching is supposed to be. Not you tell me what to preach. God tells me what to preach. And then you come to me and say, what is the word of the Lord? And I will speak to you the word of the Lord from this book. And then you've got the word of the Lord in your lap. You look down and make sure that what I'm saying is right. Because Pastor Anderson's not infallible. But I ought to be the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And if you're seeing it in the Bible, I'm preaching from the Bible, I'm using the Bible, you're looking out of the Bible, and it all matches, it's God's Word. And God's the one doing the work. God's the one doing the preaching. If it's God's Word that's being preached. Okay? And so, if I'm preaching a message that someone else dictated to me besides God's Word and the Holy Spirit, that's going to be a watered-down, smooth sermon. And so, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for Faithful Word Baptist Church, and I thank you for these wonderful people that love you and they love soul winning. And they, you know what it is? They just love people. They love people enough to go out and tell them the gospel and spend the long hours out preaching the gospel from house to house. And they love you and they love our church, and I love them. And I pray that you'd please just bless our church, dear God, and help everyone in this room who's a preacher, or maybe there's some young man here today that maybe someday in the future he's going to be a preacher, or he's going to have an opportunity to preach. I pray that he would take this message to heart and understand that watering down your preaching is never the answer. And so let's go ahead and just preach it like we need to preach with your help, dear God. And we love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn to one more song. Let's sing song number 288.